Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Jones and Keefe.
So I'm wondering, were you close to making any deals? And is there any measure of disappointment?
Well, first I would say that deals are like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no like, it's either a deal or it's not. So I don't know how close you can be. I know that everyone worked hard, and that we investigated and looked in and made phone calls, and they, what personnel departments do. And in the end, we decided that this was what we were going to do.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a feisty Mike Vrabel,
Oh,
Keith?
Yes, I am, Jones. I like a feisty Mike Vrabel. I like a feisty head coach.
Yeah, me too,
What's
I think.
Wrong with that?
Yeah, you
don't want, like, the Jim Caldwell taking a snooze on the sideline coach or the guy that just, you know, monotone coach. Give me a feisty coach.
Marco Sturm.
Sterminator, although he's got him buzzing right now.
He's got the boys buzzing.
No, but he's... I want a coach with a pulse.
He's just kind of comatose.
He's a little sleepy there on the bench.
Yeah, you
want... I want somebody that, get, you know, fires the team up.
A feisty coach.
Yeah.
Maybe not too feisty.
Like then Kilmer from Varsity Blues.
Then you have Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want that.
I don't want that.
Joe Mazzulla may be too feisty.
He's a different type of
There's
feisty.
There's a feisty line.
No, feisty's not the word for Joe Mazzulla. The word for Joe Mazzulla is crazy. That's what he has going for him. But we've come to accept that.
Yeah.
Although, we'll see how the season goes. Nice win, though, for him last night. You were right. They got to open the floodgates on him.
Good win for the Celtics last night.
Yeah. Not a great Wiz team.
No, I'd say they're poor.
Yeah.
Oh, you see Jaylen Brown's hairline got another victim last night?
Once again, he's going to cool it with the spray paint before the game.
Honestly, I'd be annoyed with the players because the Wizards last night are wearing red uniforms.
Yeah.
So if
Don't wear a white undershirt.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm like, look, dude, we're in the NBA. Don't wear an undershirt. You're it's not high school Jones with trying to cover up your arms with a white t-shirt.
Long sleeve tee?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're in the NBA. No white t-shirt under your... I saw you guys were wearing red uniforms. I didn't think you'd out my hairline.
That used to never be allowed.
I peppered that thing up last night.
Remember, there was never any undershirts for anybody. Everybody just wore the jerseys.
It wasn't allowed, or that's just men were men?
Maybe men were men.
I think just men were men.
Maybe that's what it was.
If Charles Oakley saw you in a white t-shirt, he'd break you in two.
He would kill you and have every right to.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was no undershirts back. Who was the first idiot that was like, I'm wearing an undershirt? And then they were like, yeah. Because in college they would. They'd cut the sleeves. That
it's
was cool.
Be some
Remember John
tall,
Wallace?
Yeah, some tall, skinny guy. Some tall, like,
who's the first guy that wore the shirt? Because I wonder what happened. Maybe guys started wearing sleeves, like like Allen Iverson sleeves.
Sure.
And then that morphed into like
Sean Bradley.
I'll just wear a shirt. You think Sean Bradley?
AI overview.
Thank you, Billy.
Yep. While it's difficult to pinpoint the absolute first player,
great.
Patrick Ewing is widely recognized as the early trendsetter for wearing an undershirt or sleeves under an NBA jersey.
So he did at Georgetown, which was funny because he was a hoss, right, at Georgetown, and he wore like a little tiny gray t-shirt underneath back in the day. But with the Knicks, he wasn't wearing a t-shirt, was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think it happened at all. And then it just became like commonplace. Guys are wearing pants.
I
want to
blame Sean Bradley. In my head, that's who I want to blame.
He's catching a false stray there, I feel like.
You think so?
Yeah.
I had to double check. He is still with us. I don't know if he was wearing t-shirts in the sky.
No, he's...
But he is... Sean Bradley is still with
here
us.
Here on Earth, he's wearing shirts. Yeah.
But okay.
7'6". That's a big shirt he must have been wearing.
Jalen tall from Foot Action.
Jalen Brown's hairline caught another body last night.
Although he did respond to it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so, I hadn't seen this.
So somebody tweeted about it. I think it was like Bleacher Report or whatever. They were like, where does it say? It says Jalen Brown strikes again. Cry face emoji, cry face emoji. And it's him dribbling the ball and then just covering some guy with the Wizards. And then Jalen Brown responded and wrote, AI is getting out of hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's blaming
5.6 million views on that tweet.
Blaming the bots. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I wouldn't rule that out. I guess I think
it was a Jalen Brown clone that was playing last night.
Well, we'll get into clones today. It's been a hot topic. We'll go on the clock at high noon.
Mm-hmm.
Pro clone, anti clone.
I would take on the role of anti clone.
You'll
Thank
make
you
the case
much.
Against clones at high noon. I will make the case for. We go on the clock every Thursday at high noon. This might be a new Thursday tradition. The Jackson 5 making its way to Jones and Keefe.
I'm excited about this.
Jackson is cooking up 5 questions.
It can be anything. You were under the impression it was trivia.
I thought it was going to be trivia, but I'll tell you, I got a text from Jackson last night. It is not trivia.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you. We both got a text from
We were on a group chat.
Yes.
And so that might be. We don't even know if that's going to be one of the questions. I kind of hope it is because there's a lot of different ways to answer that one.
If it is, this segment's going to go much differently than I was anticipating.
I don't believe it's trivia. I don't think it's versus anybody. I think it's sort of a get to know you kind of question.
Peek inside peek inside the brain of Jones
Keith. Peek under the hood a little bit.
Yeah, don't think you're out of this, Lanny and Nick. You're in.
They can answer.
Yeah, you can answer.
You're going to have to.
So the Jackson 5 at 11:30. We got a Keefer Madden for you at 12:45. I'm not sure what it is, but rarely do I hear Keith laugh the way he was laughing at whatever he was listening to.
Oh, the madness?
For Keith or Madness later on.
Yeah, madness is pretty good.
An evil laugh is what it was. so we'll get to it.
That's actually true.
With all your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Somehow we were talking about t-shirts in the NBA and Sean Bradley and Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
But we started off talking about Mike Vrabel.
Feisty Mike.
And his feistiness.
Yep.
That was one example yesterday. The trades are like getting pregnant. It either happens or it doesn't.
I guess.
This is probably a better example of Vrabel and his feistiness. This is Vrabel clapping back. Not very happy with Andrew Callahan and his line of questioning yesterday. Let's hear from the head coach, if we could.
Mike, I'm really clear about your, the long-term vision for the program, is what's most important here. In fact,
winning is the most important thing. Don't put words in my mouth. Winning is the most important thing.
When you guys were discussing how to handle the trade deadline, did the fact of how wide open the AFC currently looks like at all factor into your decision making?
For us to sit here and think that anything is wide open and talk about playoffs, like we're focusing on our 10th game in a row. That's what we're focused on, is how do we get prepared on Wednesday? How do we get our bodies back? How do we get mentally prepared, physically prepared to go on the road to a place that is hard to play? And that's where our focus is. It's not trying to predict the future of saying, well, it's wide open. Right. We're just going to keep focusing on what's in front of us. And that's what those conversations are about.
Okay. What's he mad at? Why is he mad at that line of questioning? Is he mad at himself because he was very forward focusing and we're trying to build things smartly, and he didn't say it's year one of the rebuild, and he didn't say the Commanders are stupid, but the organization's putting all that out there about this season. So did he feel like he got put into a corner there? Was Andrew Callahan out of line for his question? Like, why was Vrabel getting so snippy?
Well,
there?
I feel like now, the trade deadline's a time, especially when you are taking over a team and you're talking about the rebuild and you're talking about the future, but you're also, throughout the year, been talking about the present and trying to win now, and that's even what he went back to yesterday. It's sort of like, put your money where your mouth is right now. Like, if you are about winning, wouldn't you want to help your team right now? Right? Because it's not an either or. It's not sacrifice your future for wins now.
Right.
Or, play the long game and don't do anything. There's a giant middle ground, and they chose not to even take part in that. So I wonder if it's like some of his own words being used against him, which he's a little annoyed by.
That's kind of what I think.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
I I kind of think there's some of that going on. Is that Giannis? Who is that?
Ilya Brizgalov.
Oh, what was the Giannis? What was the Giannis
Ilya
one?
Brizgalov. Why do you have that?
What was the Giannis? Giannis had a line just like that, didn't he? Where he's
I have
like
a bunch of Brizgalov drops. He's scared of bears in the forest. He's a funny dude.
Well, forget this. Let's talk about Brizgalov. No, Giannis was just the, like, now's not the time to be mad.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of anything. Here we go. I'm afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
Oh, no, that's still Brizgalov.
That's all Brizgalov. Oh, yeah. That's Nick's Brizgalov folder that he has.
That's the two I have.
He's been waiting for the time to play it.
I think Vrabel's a little bit, I think he's a little bit angry that his words are getting thrown back in his face.
Yeah.
And he's talking out both ends of his mouth.
Because he really hasn't done that to this point, right? Like, we made a point the other day, like, not to pile on Gerard Mayo because enough is enough, but every other day it was sort of like, I said this, but I meant this. Oh, I said that, but I really meant to say this. So that happened nonstop. We got used to it. For 8-9 weeks, it was like, Vrabel's consistent, and not only is Vrabel consistent, like what he says, the team kind of echoes like throughout the time. But now you're in this weird spot where it's like, it's not just Mike Vrabel, the head coach. Like, I know he's not technically the GM, but he has way more say in player personnel than Mayo did, or than some other head coaches do around the league. And so when you get to a point where, all right, here's your chance to make moves, and you're talking about how hard everybody was working, and everybody was trying to do this, that, and the other thing, but, oh, but, you know, we chose not to do anything. It's like,
it's not a failure. It's steps to success.
Yeah, so maybe that's what this is. Maybe this is steps to success.
That's Giannis, or that's still Brizgalov?
No, that's Giannis. That's Giannis.
I'm confused at who I'm even listening to.
Well,
anymore.
That could be a new game.
Yeah.
Who said it, Giannis or Brizgalov?
And then the rest of the game is, who's Brizgalov? But when it comes to Vrabel, we haven't heard him get mad that much. Like, no. He was like, oh, Phil, you stupid idiot. Where'd you go to college?
Yep, yep.
That was one time. There haven't been many of those. But I think he's mad his words are getting thrown back in his face.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because an alternate interpretation from, like, for instance, our guy Hogg would be he's mad at Wolf for not getting any deals done. I don't think that's it. I don't think he's mad at Elliot Wolf. I don't think Elliot Wolf has any power. I think Vrabel is right there in charge of what they're doing and not doing at the trade deadline. And so he doesn't like looking weak isn't the right way to say it. He doesn't like looking like he doesn't believe in this team. And if you're worried about just if you're looking at the exercise of keeping your sixth-round picks, you can't possibly fully believe in your team this year if you're worried about your sixth-round picks next year. If you're worried about building and stockpiling picks for next year,
yeah,
and you're worried about building things, then you don't really believe in making a move this year. Maybe the Colts overpaid. They believe in their team this year.
Oh, yeah.
They made a move to take advantage of the AFC. And I think Vrabel doesn't like coming across looking like he doesn't believe in his team. He's been telling his team adamantly, guys, we can do this. Guys, this is what we want to do. We want to come in. We want to win divisions. We want to host home playoff games. We want to win championships. And then his actions at the trade deadline are the opposite of that. In fact, they peeled off pieces and subtracted. Yeah. So I think he's feisty because he doesn't like the narrative that's being built. And I guess we're guilty of it. But he doesn't like the narrative out there that he doesn't believe in his team. And he got caught there.
Yeah.
And he said, well, no. The most important thing isn't building things the right way. The most important thing is winning. And winning is the most important thing. And I just don't think their actions align with that at the deadline. And I think he got exposed and he didn't like it.
Because you can't spin this as a good deadline. You could make the case that, you know what, they're going to be fine. They're the same team that they were. And if you had high expectations for them, you can continue to have those and they'll be fine. They're not better. They took two guys that made the team out of camp. And even though their roles were diminished, they were part of the 53. They played, especially Duggar, when there was injury, that he was up there. They took two guys from the roster, got rid of them for late picks next year,
yeah,
and added no other players. So they're worse. They're not like, they're not much worse. They're pretty much the same. But, you know, like, this was an opportunity to get just a little bit better. Or even if it was not a starter that you were adding, you just give yourself that better chance, right? Like, edge rush got brought up a lot, so much so that I kind of fear that, like, Landry or Chasen's going to get hurt because people were talking about edge rush all season. I was like, give me a running back, but people wanted edge rush. But that's a good example. You don't have to necessarily bring in a starter, but somebody that you deemed better than Keon White. If you just even did that, like, hey, Keon White's out, but we have what we think is a better version of Keon White.
We said this all along. I'm like, if you use the sixth-round pick for Duggar and you use the sixth-round pick for Keon White that you got, and you thought this is what they were doing. You thought they were accumulating assets to turn around and then flip them for different players that fit better.
Right.
I would have applauded them at the deadline. But as those trades happened, I said, well, I hope they're not just selling. I hope they're going to do something. Then they didn't do something. And now Vrabel sounds annoyed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, winning's the most important thing. I don't believe. Do you believe him when he says winning is the most important thing? Is that how they approached it at the trade
deadline? No, I think they're trying to be like a sustainable good team.
So
I think they're more worried about that.
I don't believe him when he says that. Yeah. I think he's more worried about building this thing properly over time, which, by the way, could be the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're right. Maybe the team can't go on a deep run this year. Maybe the team can't win the AFC, win a Super Bowl this year. And maybe their calculations, they know that. They'd really have to get lightning in a bottle. And they understand, guys, you know what? We're ahead of schedule, but it's still not our year. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs. The Ravens are still lurking. The Bills are the Bills, et cetera, et cetera. And we want a better chance next year and the year after that and taking advantage of Drake May's next decade in the league. I'm not even telling you that's wrong. They might be right about that. But the way they approached it at the trade deadline is that. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. What the Colts did, what the Jaguars did. I mean, what even some of the teams in the NFC did. The Eagles, for sure. What they did, those are teams that are treating winning right now as the most important. And maybe the Patriots win in spite of it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be proven right over the long term. But the way they acted doesn't align with what Vrabel said yesterday. Not even close.
Yeah, no, it's just frustrating because I feel like everything has been pretty positive or very positive for the Patriots. And even going back to when they hired Vrabel and then the moves after that, yeah, we all wanted, you know, Ronnie Stanley or Chris Godwin or whatever. So it's not like they got every single guy that they wanted, but they went out and they actually did spend some money. Milton Williams and Harold Landry and Robert Spillane and Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins have all been pretty good. The draft seems like overall pretty good. You got a couple of starting linemen. So that was when you could add to your team. So the offseason, I would say, was a win. How they've played in the regular season is a win. This is the one time in the year, the last opportunity of the year, where you can kind of tinker with your roster a little bit more rather than just like, you know, practice squad guys or whatever, like waiver claims.
Well,
but and that was a miss. So it was similar to the Red Sox in that sense, where you have a really good offseason, but then unfortunately you don't follow that up with a good trade deadline.
Will you in any way apply how they play to the trade deadline? Like, if they come out flat, they lose, they don't look right against Tampa, will you look at that and go, we'll see, this is evidence of how they approach the trade deadline? Or will you just Tampa's coming off a bye week.
No.
Tampa's good.
Yep.
Tampa's at home. It'll just be those things.
I think it'll be those things. I think where I'll really look at the trade deadline is if, and maybe we'll probably see it this week, actually.
Injuries at safety, at rush. Yeah.
So Stevenson probably isn't going to play.
Nope.
So if Terrell Jennings plays really well, then, like, tip your cap to him and, like, good for you. Like, I hope he does. But if he kind of stinks and Henderson struggles a little bit, you'd be like, why? You couldn't grab the running back? Like, you know Gibson's not coming back, and we have no idea when Stevenson's coming back. So less so them, like, coming out flat or anything like that, and more so if they lose a guy or, like, if, you know, if Booty's out for an extended period of time, be like, you didn't want to add somebody there? Like, right. Just if the depth or the lack of depth shows, then that's when I'll be the most annoyed.
And, again, those players moved at wide receiver, Jacoby Myers, Rashid Shaheed. Maybe you think they overpaid.
Yeah.
But those guys moved, and they weren't Titans or Dolphins or Jets, which the reports are that the Titans and teams in the division didn't want to deal with the Patriots. Although, Phil Perry today reported, or actually yesterday, that Tennessee was, in fact, willing to negotiate with the Patriots despite the franchise's history with Vrabel.
Hmm.
Just couldn't get anything done. So Perry's reporting one thing there. Giardi's reporting another. I guess we can square those away. However, I wouldn't blame Tennessee for not wanting to deal with the Patriots. And that might be right. That rings true to me. Amy Adams Strunk doesn't want to do Vrabel any favors. I believe that. I don't think Kraft wanted to do Belichick any favors when he was doing interviews with the Atlanta Falcons. So I don't think the Titans wanted to help the Patriots. I just point out Phil is saying something different. And, oh, by the way, other players moved. There were a lot of other players that moved on other teams. That's not an excuse for getting nothing done at the trade deadline. Why is Vrabel annoyed? And do you think Mike Vrabel really believes in this team? And do you agree with him that winning is most important? 617-779-7937. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 10 matchup between the Patriots and the Buccaneers. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Speaking of that matchup, let's get into how a win over the Buccaneers would change your outlook of the Patriots this season. We have Jackson 5 on the way at 11:30. Jackson cooking up five questions for Keith, myself, Nick, Billy, the whole crew. We'll also go on the clock at high noon. Keith is going to make a case against clones. What a foolish argument.
No, it's the easiest case to be made.
And I'm going to make a case for clones. I stand with Tom Brady, Keith. I stand with Tom Brady.
This isn't
on this
just
one.
Dogs we're talking about. No, this is all cloning, including human beings.
Correct.
Okay. With souls.
We also have a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for all of it. We'll get into the Pats and Bucks right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Yeah, I think this game is it's going to be a good environment. They're a great football team. They're great defense, great offense, and I think it's a kind of a start for the games that we may have down the road of maybe at the end of the season need some wins and it's going to be tough battles. So I think it's a start here for us to know what it's like and. When the weather gets a little colder, not down there, but when it starts to, what this game like is against a good team, good record, good quarterback, great defense. So it's a challenge, and it's feels like a game that got some little bit extra to it. But I think it's also an opponent we don't really know really well, NFC South, and you don't see him often. But it's a chance for us to get another road victory, and it's always a great test to. For a great team.
Drake May on the Bucks this weekend. We've talked about this a lot, Keith. It's not an easy spot for the Patriots.
No.
You started to hear Vrabel talking about it and the answer where he got snippy with Andrew Callahan that we played for you off the top here, where he's like, well, we're just trying to focus on our 10th game in a row. Not win in a row, but our 10th game in a row. We haven't had a bye week yet. We're grinding. Meanwhile, Tampa is sitting there at home, getting healthier, coming off a bye. And they're a good team. Mm-hmm. So this is one where you look at the schedule and you go, not only is it a difficult opponent, it's a tough spot for the Pats. And if they're able to pull this win out.
Oh, my God.
They're not favored. They're not expected to.
Nope.
But if they do, I mean, it would change my outlook on them, I guess, a little bit. I already think they're a contending team, but I'd feel better about that. I think it would really change the national outlook on this team and really rise them up as like a true team to talk about. Have we not talked enough about them? Are they a true contender if they're able to go into Tampa and win this weekend?
Oh, my God, yeah. Because this was one that was circled even earlier in the season. Even like before the Buffalo game, you were looking at it and said, the schedule is really easy, but right? And there was always like three games that you'd sort of point to. And this was one of them. And I think Tampa has cooled a little bit because prior to their bye, Baker Mayfield, when they were 5-1, Mayfield looked like an MVP candidate, if not front runner.
We both thought he was the MVP at that point in time. Yeah.
And then they lose to Detroit, and then they beat New Orleans, but Mayfield doesn't really do much. New Orleans is terrible. And that was sort of an example of like, hey, they are pretty good because they played poorly and they beat the Saints by 20. But it wasn't like hey, look at this game. It wasn't a signature game for them by any means. But they're 6-2. They're coming off a bye. It would be really the second signature win for the Pats. So it would be their eighth win of the year. But it'd be like the second one that you can point to and be like, see, this does legitimize them. This isn't just beating the Titans and the Browns and the Saints. Yeah, so it's a hell of a challenge. It's a really good quarterback, which, again, they haven't faced a lot of those, right? It's been a lot of Spencer Rattler, Dylan Gabriels, Cam Wards, Bryce Youngs. But Baker Mayfield, like, you're talking about a guy having a top five quarterback season.
He is. And they struggle going into the bye.
Yep.
They really haven't had Mike Evans hardly at all this year. He played the first couple of games, got hurt week three, came back, got hurt immediately. Godwin's been in and out of the lineup. He wasn't practicing yesterday. Bucky Irving started the year great. Not that I have to tell you over there.
No,
Keith.
I got him sitting on my bench for a while now.
Bucky Irving, owner in fantasy. But Bucky Irving started the year great.
They were hoping he might be back this week, but he didn't practice yesterday.
No, both him and Godwin didn't practice yesterday. So they've had a good amount of injuries, and going into the bye week, there are a couple of games. It was the Lions and somebody else going into the bye. I forget who it was. But they...
Lions, then New Orleans.
Lions, then New Orleans. Yeah. Thank you. So they didn't look great in either game offensively.
No.
And so was that a team that desperately needed the bye? They're going to reload and come out on the other side looking like the team they did early in the year? Or are they just limping along because of the injuries that really aren't getting any better? We're going to find out. But I'll increase my view of them if they win. I already think pretty highly of them. I already think they're a contender. We've gone through and we put them on the top tier. We put them on best around. There's not much higher for them to go in my mind.
No.
It would legitimize it. And I think they'd be legitimized for a lot of people around the country. It's Nance and Romo this weekend.
First time since 2023.
We used to expect those games.
Those
used to be no big deal.
Yeah.
It was routine. Now this is a game that's going to be shown in a lot of households across the country, just in New England. No Arch and Spiro. No Jason McCourty just constantly predicting the wrong thing that's about to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be Romo probably predicting the wrong thing that's about to happen.
Making some noises.
But a lot of people are going to see it, and I think this is a chance to legitimize themselves to the rest of the country. A lot of people here believe, rightfully so. Maybe Vrabel, not enough.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people around here already believe this. This is their chance to legitimize
themselves.
And
I'm going back to, even though they are on this heater, like, I don't expect them to win out, right? Like, they're not going to go 15-2. So they're going to get tripped up along the way. But it's just like, what does that look like when they do get tripped up? You remember what we were saying the week leading into the Buffalo game? I was like, give me a competitive loss. I'll take it. I'll sign up for a competitive loss. I'll move on. I'll be happy with that. It's sort of like the building blocks. And then so when they beat Buffalo, it sort of changed how everybody felt about the team. Like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is ahead of schedule. That is a big-time win. So I'd feel the same way. I'd feel great. I mean, if they win, yeah. I mean, sky's the limit. It kind of feels like it still is. You just want to see, even if they lose, if it's a close, tight game, you're like, all right, at Tampa Bay, could be a really hot day, for God's sakes. Like, I'll sign up for that.
Well, I would agree to an extent. Like, if it's a well-played game and they hang in there, and I remember feeling this way. I don't feel this way often in losses, but I remember back in 2014, they went into Green Bay, played a hard-nosed game against Green Bay. They lost. But I didn't feel terrible about that one. I'm like, man, that's a Super Bowl contender on the other side. You went into Lambeau. You went toe-to-toe with them. Mm-hmm. I came away pretty impressed in a loss. That happens rarely. The one that gets cited a lot was in 2001 against the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
And the Bucs aren't this team, or that team, rather.
No, they're definitely not.
They're good.
The Bills are better, right? Like the Bills game, and also because it's a division game and it's Josh Allen. Like, that one I looked at as that's a tougher challenge than this.
So, but if they go toe-to-toe with Baker and Baker beats him on a final drive or something like that, and he's won a lot of games this year, I probably won't feel horrible about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if they have some giant lead that they blow late.
Right.
Or if they just look...
Oh, Drake May fumbles. I mean, there's a lot of different variations.
But in general, you know, I don't want to box myself in too much, but in general, if they lose a one-score game to Tampa, I probably won't feel too bad about this one. It's a tough spot that they're going into.
Definitely.
But a win would legitimize a lot of things. So I hate putting a team in a no downside sort of situation.
If
they win, great, and if they lose, great. I hate to put them in that kind of spot.
I got it.
But if they play competitively against Tampa, I'll feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel good about the Jackson 5. coming up at 11:30.
Ooh, one short hour away.
We're excited for it. We'll go on the clock at high noon as well. Make our cases for and against clones.
I'm against.
Some people are confused.
No, I said clones don't have souls, not dogs.
Yeah,
dogs people, have souls.
People
they might
are
have
saying,
the strongest souls of anybody.
Hey, Keith, Hero.
Harrow.
The texter says Hero.
Harrow, H-A-R-R-O-W.
Hero doesn't have a soul, Keith, you monster. He said Jones's toothless dog may not have one.
By the way.
But Hero, how could you say that?
This daylight savings has messed Harrow up, like big time.
Yeah.
He would get up at 7 a.m. Like you could set your watch to it. He goes down to our bed anytime at night, wakes up at 7. Mm-hmm. Now he's like getting up at 5:30 in the morning. He's like trying to scratch into like the girls' room and like wake them up. So now I have to get up at 5:30 and be like, dude, you're not going in there. Daylight saving. The kids reacted way better than the dog.
The kid doesn't even notice.
Kid's fine.
He's like, boy, it's dark out there early. But other than that, the kid doesn't even notice.
No, they're back on their schedule. I mean, as much as Georgie can be. But like Harrow's like, it's messing with him.
No, the dog. Now, Charles already does this. Charles is old and crotchety in his old age. He just wants his food. So he'll
his
start.
Mashed up food.
No, he'll start like, you know, going over to his bowl and like give it a scratch.
Yeah.
He already does that before we feed him at like 5.
So 4 o'clock, he's like, where is it?
No. So he's already a little in front of that. Like the older he gets, the crotchetier he gets, and the more he's like
that
already pushing
special.
That line.
Yeah.
But daylight savings has complete. He's like 3:30. He's like scratching his bowl. I'm like, Charles, we're an hour plus away from your meal.
It's driving me nuts.
And my wife caves. My wife's like, let's just feed
him.
I'm like, no. We'll want dinner again at 11 o'clock.
You got to send a message to the 13-year-old dog. he'll
take
learn.
Him an hour to eat it anyway.
He's like, I want that mush.
I need that.
Throw that mush in my bowl. I want
Can
that.
Can you chew it for me?
So we'll get to it coming up, as we will with the Jackson 5. Mark in Medford has thoughts, it says, on the Jackson 5. Hello, Mark.
Oh, wow.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Yeah, I hate to burst your bubble, but I don't want you guys to get sued. The Jackson 5 is a federally owned trademark by Motown Records. So I don't think you'd be able to use that. So you might want to be careful.
That was the
first thing that popped into my head.
I thought he was going to say the Jackson 5 has already been used by the Greg Hill Show.
We cleared it with Greg.
We
were like, hey, we don't want to just steal bits. Can we borrow this bit? And he said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
But Mark went another way. He thought copyright.
He thinks Motown's coming after us.
All right. So maybe you have maybe in the podcast description, we'd call it something else. Or we write out 5 instead of the number 5.
Can we get
the Jackson 5.
Can we get our legal department on that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think let's do that.
We have a bit of a Jackson 5 situation going on.
I thought he was saying Greg was going to put out a cease and desist. No, this is we got the clearance from.
No, he even promoted it this morning.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said coming up later today. Jackson 5.
How about that? Oh, I missed that, but I did know we got clearance from the big man there.
Oh yeah.
617-779-7937. One thing I am very interested in this game, are they going to try to force Kyle Williams into the game plan? He and Drake May clearly don't look right.
No.
They're not on the same page. That second down at the end of the game where they were trying to run out the clock last week is an example of it. But there's he has 2 catches this year. So, and he played way more in that game on Sunday than you'd realize, 30-plus snaps. So I'm curious if they try to kind of jam him into the game plan and make that a thing to justify the draft pick. This exchange yesterday with Drake May, I think it's Doug Kide asking the question, I think.
Yeah.
But listen to this exchange on Kyle Williams yesterday.
I was talking to Kyle today, Kyle Williams, and some of the miscommunication that you guys have had. How do you work on that, or is there anything to that? He said there might have been some miscommunication on some of the targets you guys have missed on so far.
Miscommunication? Referring to what plays?
I don't know. I was asking him about some of the targets that he hasn't caught. He said there's just been kind of miscommunication with you.
No, really. I just got to give him a good ball to catch. You know, I can't really think of any miscommunication I've had with Kyle. I think he's done a good job when he's in there, and I think he's doing a good job in practice. So just, I really think just proud of what the guy's done in that room, and we'll continue to do it.
Okay, so he's like flummoxed by
Kyle Williams
is
screwed.
Telling Doug Kide, I think, or whoever the reporter was, telling him that, we've just had some miscommunications. And Drake's like, what do you mean miscommunications?
What play?
Yeah, what play?
Tell me which play.
Yeah. And Doug's like, I don't know. I'm just telling you what Kyle Williams
told
me.
Kyle said. Oh, that's what Kyle said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that bodes well for Kyle. Tell you that much.
I think it's a bad sign.
I think this is like.
It's not Jalen Polk and Javon Baker.
It's not Jalen Polk. And I'm not going to take it to the extreme of Tom Brady where a young receiver would run the wrong route once and he would never throw over that guy ever again. I don't think it's going to be that. But especially with Drake May having good chemistry with pretty much every other player on the field, I can't imagine the ball gets thrown to Kyle Williams much this weekend. Even if he's out there for half the snaps again, I think he'll find somebody else to throw to.
Yeah,
He did not like that.
He didn't.
He did not like that.
Like, what do you
mean?
What play?
What play are you talking about? Well, I'd be like, I don't know. You've only thrown to him four times season. Yeah. Maybe those four plays.
Yeah, right. There's not. That's true. There's not that many plays. But okay, so Kyle Williams is saying it's a miscommunication. Did that get misinterpreted? Did he really mean I'm not on the same page with Drake?
I mean, that's a dangerous thing.
Is he kind of throwing the quarterback under the bus? Why Drake is like, well, what do you mean, miscommunication?
So Kyle Williams this season has played in every game. He's been targeted six times, and he has two catches.
So those plays.
So my guess is the four that he didn't catch were miscommunications, according to Kyle. Not according to Drake May, though.
No.
Like, that's a direct contradiction.
So
that isn't like, hey, I need to talk to him. He's like, I don't know what plays you're talking about, and I don't remember any miscommunication.
Is it?
So he did not care for that.
Is it a realistic fear to worry that Vrabel, Cowden, Wolf, whomever, they're going to jam Kyle Williams into the game plan this week to justify the draft pick? Is that a rational fear? Or do you think he'll just be out there, you know, running cardio like he was last week? You barely notice him, and Drake just throws somewhere else.
Yeah, and people now are like, oh, he's a good blocker. Like, great. He can block, and he can run routes.
Who
I see
that?
On Twitter, he's a good blocker.
People are saying he's a good blocker? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kyle Williams?
Was it Taylor Kyles, maybe?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if it was Taylor Kyles.
I'm unaware of this narrative.
I'll look into it. I thought I saw that. But, yeah, I think he'll be out there just because they don't really burn out Steph Diggs. Like, if they have 60 offensive plays, Steph Diggs doesn't play 60 of them, but when he does play, they usually look his way. So my guess is Kyle Williams probably gets a lot of run, but it'll be on running plays or on other plays where there are four other guys in the pass tree, and Drake May will find somebody else.
I mean, yeah. I wonder if they try to get him involved this week. And look, if it works, great. And they've had a pretty good track record with doing that this year. I didn't like when they stuck with Pop. It's worked. I didn't like when they stuck with Ramondre Stevenson. Bigger gray area, but it's worked. I didn't like how they handled the stuff with Steph Diggs and the party boat. It's worked. So they've had a lot of this stuff work out for them. They babied Christian Gonzalez, taken 8 weeks to come back from a hamstring issue. So a lot of it's worked. Maybe this will work too. But that's one worth keeping an eye on Sunday, especially given the quarterback's response to it. 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on Pats and Bucks on Sunday. Mixed in with Mike Vrabel and his feistiness yesterday when pushed about the trade deadline. But coming up next, another good example of players buying in to Mike Vrabel, his coaching style, and one specific player I just mentioned that I had some doubts about, Steph Diggs. We'll get to all of it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations.
Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Coach was talking about how you helped change the culture here. He then dropped that there were 41 players in here lifting on the day off. I don't know if you were part of the group, but what does that say about you?
It's just the direction that we're going in. It's the middle of the season, and I think it's more importantly that the season just kind of started. You know, obviously, that first halfway point through the season, guys kind of figure out what kind of team you are, what kind of team you want to be, where you measure, and the things you've been doing well. So trying to figure out that identity. At this point, I feel like we know who we are. We know where we want to go, what it's going to take to get there. So guys come in on off, they putting that time in. I'm not surprised.
That was Stephon Diggs yesterday. Mike Vrabel revealed during his very feisty press conference that 41 players were in on their day off to do a lift on Tuesday.
I love that. Vrabel, I love that. One, first of all, good number. Like, whatever, day off, a lot of guys, a lot of buy-in. I also love that Vrabel knows the exact number. It's not like, hey, there's a lot of guys, there's the majority of the guys. He's like, no, 41 were here, 12 weren't. Like, he knows. I mean, I guess there's more practice squad or whatever, but you know what I mean?
I get your point.
Like, that's pretty funny.
41 guys on their off day showed up to lift. I mean, that is a good number. That's a good sign.
You think 41 guys showed up at the Jets off day?
No. No. I don't even. They even
41
have,
fans show up to games?
They even have 41 guys on the roster.
They may not.
Yeah.
They may
not. So, no, that's a good sign. That's a good number. And, you know, Diggs was kind of singled. It was in an answer about Diggs that Vrabel gave in his leadership, and he cited the 41 guys showing up on their off day. Now, I listened to some of Will Campbell yesterday, too, because I was curious if he said anything about the Celtics game.
Yeah.
He didn't really say much.
No.
He did say he was a rebounder in high school. He said that's his game. He's
I'm
a boards guy.
Probably he'd take about 4 or 5 hard fouls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he'd use them up.
That's his paint.
Yep.
Yeah. That's his paint.
But he also said, because he was asked the same question, he's like, what does it say about this team that 41 guys showed up on Tuesday to lift? He's like, well, I guess they wanted to lift on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. He's like, we have the choice. He's like, we can either lift on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
But you can keep it to yourself, and maybe this is worth asking, who are we talking to tomorrow?
I think Milt.
Oh, is it Milt?
I think it should be Big Milt.
Oh, no, it was on Monday last Friday. You're right. We got Milkman.
Milkman's
so
great.
On top of playing him the Shime clip on Drake May, we gotta ask him about the lift on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And maybe Henry as well next week, and whoever else we're getting, Christian Ellis, Craig Woodson, whomever. But on top of that, like, yeah, he basically said you can use your off day to do whatever. I mean, you can stay home. You don't have to show up to the facility, family time if you have young kids or whatever. You can just sleep in if you want. Rest your body up. 41 of the guys, even if they're choosing not to lift on Wednesday, they're still showing up on Tuesday, lifting, and then you're back to practice on Wednesday.
Yeah,
great. I still think that's a great sign.
I think it's a good sign because it's middle of the season. You could easily excuse it away and be like, I'll take a little bit of a break here. I kind of owe it to myself. We've reached the halfway point, even though the bye week hasn't happened yet. But, no, there's still complete buy-in, and it seems like, you know, every single game, there's a reason for them to go out there and kind of prove it. So, yeah, all that stuff, like, is, you know, even though you and I are disappointed in the trade deadline, them not doing anything, I think the team themselves is in a pretty good spot. And obviously, like, the mentality, they talked about changing the culture. And sometimes when you hear that stuff, you kind of like roll your eyes. But it does seem like there's like a real legitimate change there.
This is the plus with Vrabel. Culture, buy-in, team building, bonding, all that stuff, right? Like, he is a leader of men. It's not his scheme. It's not his system. It's stuff like this. And in year one, we're already seeing it. And good. I mean, that's why he's here.
Yep.
But that's still a good thing for the Patriots. By the way, I like this answer, too, from Steph Diggs. I told you from time to time I like listening to him.
All answers by Steph Diggs.
Which I didn't expect.
It's been great.
This was a follow-up question about his leadership.
Your teammates have talked about the leader that you are on this group. Was that something that you were intentional about in coming in this year? Is it different now that you're more of a veteran player, or that you went through the injury and have more perspective? Is there a difference in how you kind of approach leadership this year?
No, not at all. I mean, everybody outside looking in can have got a different vantage point to a lot of things. I had a C on my chest for 4 years when I was in Buffalo. It's no surprise that I'm a leader. Do I work hard? It's never been a question as to who I am. It's always when I left and there was a lot of questions.
Right.
So that's growing pains. I got big enough service. I'll take what comes with it. But I didn't approach this year no different than I approach any year as far as like from a leadership standpoint of working hard, earning the respect of my teammates, or earning the respect of my coaches too, and just kind of going off of that. Like, people get lost in it. It's easy to go with a narrative. But when you meet me and I get around my teammates, I let them speak for it. I let them speak for more than I'll say it. But being a leader is part of being accountable, and I look forward to being accountable each and every day.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. He was a captain everywhere he was. I think I want to say even his last year in Minnesota, but certainly his time in Buffalo. And then even his 1 year, half year in Houston, he was a captain. And he points out, like, he knows what people say about him because he's like, yeah, the questions aren't when I'm there. It's like right when I leave. That's when the questions pop up. And I think you could make a great case.
That's not totally true. His last year in Buffalo, the questions were definitely while he was
during
still
the
on
season.
The team.
Good point. I guess it sort of like led to the buyout. Yeah, that's fair. I guess you're right.
I get his point. Yeah.
But also, I think Houston made a huge mistake in hindsight. Like, they should have brought him back. Nico Collins is a great receiver. They drafted two receivers. They brought in Christian Kirk. None of those guys, what is it, Higgins and Noel, is like the Iowa State guys. Mm-hmm. None of those guys are performing as well as Steph Diggs is.
No, they brought I can't remember if they traded for him or signed him. They brought in Christian Kirk. He's done nothing.
None of them have done anything. I do think it's been a little quiet the last few weeks for Diggs. I think this is a big game for him.
It should be.
I think he does. The Bucs pass defense isn't great. You know, they get a couple guys in the secondary that I like, but it's not a great pass defense. Kayshon Booty's probably not going to play. I think they're going to need him. And the last time they had a massive big-time game when the lights were the brightest, he showed up.
I was just going to say the same thing. And we all thought it was just because it was a Buffalo revenge game.
Yeah, no.
Maybe the Patriots are just picking their spots to lean on him coming off an ACL injury. And they say, look, we're going to need you this week against Tampa. This is a Steph Diggs week. And not that he's ever not in the game plan, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This is a week where we lean on him. And I think that would be the right approach. 617-779-7937. Kurt's in,
hold on.
Kurt's in Tampa Bay. Hello, Kurt.
Oh, Tampa Bay.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, a Patriots fan living here in Tampa. It's brutal. I'm a sixth grade PE coach, so one of the kids wants to send you guys a message real quick.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Go, Buck 6-7.
I knew it.
Hey, don't. I control his grade, so he gets an F.
All right, good. Yeah, fail that kid if you don't mind.
Just fail gym, son. Yeah,
honestly, suspend him. He's not allowed to go to school anymore.
I thought we were going to go a couple hours without hearing 6-7. When I get out of the house.
He hit us with a 6-7 and a Go Bucks.
Yeah, that stings.
How do you come back from that?
You don't. You can't recover from that. I bet a lot of Patriots fans, though, will be at the game on Sunday.
I heard Greg say, he's like, everybody I talk to, Greg, is going to the Bucks game. I was like, no one I talked to is going to the Bucks game, and I guess
we don't really talk to anybody.
Yeah, we have different social circles. Exactly.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is the one to go to. Like, when you look at the schedule ahead of time, you know, people like to travel, like to go to different destinations, and this is, I would say, one that would be pretty good.
Okay.
Little November trip to Tampa.
You got to deal with little punks running around down there, apparently.
Oh, my God. Lawless.
But short of that, it'd be a game worth going to.
Were they just huddled around the gym class listening to our show?
I mean, it sounded that way.
Not bad. What did you do in gym today? Listen to a Boston sports radio show? We got to talk to your teacher.
Yeah, Kurt, sorry if that gets you in any trouble.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah. They're out of demo, Keith, and out of state.
But they say target the young audience. No, but I would say that 12-year-old.
You want to get younger, we just did.
13 years from now, he's going to be in the demo.
The Florida youth. We're huge with the Florida youth. 617-779-7937. We will get to the Jackson 5 at 11:30. Jackson has cooked up 5 questions
for
me.
I'm excited.
Keith, yep. Billy, Nick, we're all answering. So we'll do that at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon. Clones, are you four? Or are you against? We'll make our case in just 60 seconds, plus a key for badness for you at 12:45. And more on the Red Sox, their offseason. Are their plans coming into focus? Do they even have a plan? Let's get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.